I love it when the music for a worship service and the message for a worship service just comes together like a piece of carpentry dovetailed together, and that's what's happening today. You probably noticed in the music that we've been singing about God's faithfulness and God's love, but in the midst of that, you've also sung words like, when winters come, or when we're in a valley, or when times are dark. And in those kinds of times, we need that reminder that God's love for us is faithful, fully faithful, because those dark times, those valleys, can shake our confidence in God. They just do, because we're human. And we start to ask all kinds of questions. God, what are you doing? Why are you allowing this? And they might just be small questions, like a couple of the questions that I heard this morning, or big questions, like another question that I was reminded about just by greeting people this morning. So on the way in, one person said, hey, isn't today called Sunday? Where's the sun? Come on, God, where's the sun today? But another person, another couple, another family came in and told me that today is the day when they're going to be laying one of their loved ones to rest. And many, if not all of you, have been through some version of that. And you know how difficult it can be to have a family member, a friend, someone that you have loved and who has journeyed through life with you, and to realize, well, at least in this life, not until the next life, we're not going to be on this journey together for a while. It's tough. It's definitely a valley, a period of darkness. And so it's interesting because Isaiah the prophet, we're continuing in our study of his book, in chapter 45, is talking about speaking on behalf of God, because that's what prophets did. What about people of God when you go through these dark times and valleys, when you go through the winters of life? What should we be thinking then? What should we be feeling? What should we be saying to God? And Isaiah gives us some really, really helpful wisdom for those times. And that's what we're going to dive into today. And one of the overarching themes of today could be encapsulated really in one word. And it's a word that's sometimes used in the Christian church freely, but really here at Amazing Love, I don't know that we use it all that much. So I want to put up a definition of this word, and it's the word sovereignty. How many of you have ever heard or talked about God is sovereign? What does that even mean, right? So here's a definition. This is from Merriam-Webster. It says, sovereignty represents supreme power, especially over a body politic. And politics is not, politic there does not mean politics. It means a body of people. So God is our supreme power. There's no higher power. He's supreme, especially over us, a body of believers. Secondly, it means freedom from external control, autonomy. That's good to remember with God too, isn't it? That even though God tells us he will hear our prayers, listen to our prayers, never ever should we imagine anything other than God is the one in control, that he does what he pleases to do, which is always going to be, in the end, what's best for us, even if it does take us through valleys and dark times and winters. He is the supreme over all, and he is supremely independent. And then finally, he is our controlling influence. I'll explain as we go into the message how Isaiah uses God's sovereignty, and then how we can use God's sovereignty to find what was also in the music today, the joy and the peace that Christians have, even when they're going through the winters and the dark times and the valleys of life. There's a picture that we're going to read about, two pictures, in fact, in Isaiah 45 that we're about to read. And I just want to introduce them to you so that when you hear them, first of all, in God's sovereignty, the Bible, Isaiah says, we have to think of God as the potter and we're merely the clay. And throughout the Bible, this is a metaphor that's used, and often the point is, does the pot tell the potter how it needs to be made, or how it needs to be molded, or what should be done with it, or what use it should be made for? And the answer, of course, is no, the pot is simply molded by the potter, and the potter is the one fully in control of what kind of pot it turns out to be, and how beautiful it is, and what its purpose is. And the other picture that we'll hear about is moms, dads, and children. And the metaphor here is that probably you've lived through this, whether you're a child or a parent. I remember back being a child and my mom and dad saying, all right, enough. I'm not going to explain myself anymore to you. You just have to trust me. I'm your dad. You know I love you. So enough of the questions for now. Let's just do what I'm asking you to do. Anybody ever have a parent say something of that nature to them? And Isaiah uses that to say to us, God sometimes hides his motives. He doesn't always explain to us, his children, all the whys behind the valleys and the dark periods and all those things. And we have to learn to trust him anyway, based on what we do know about him, especially in those times when he's quiet or hiding himself, as the title of the message says. The final thing before we dive in is a beautiful quote from St. Augustine. And it's something that also sometimes requires just a little dose of acceptance from us, because our question is going to be, why is there evil in the world when we have a good God? Why does he allow it? And Augustine's answer to that question was pretty interesting. God judged it better. Again, we don't necessarily know why, but God judged it better, an improved way of operating, to bring good out of evil than to suffer no evil to exist. Just leave that up there for a second, because that's thought-provoking. I know I've asked the question, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Why is there death? Why is there sickness? Why is there poverty? And then it gets all the more poignant the moment it becomes an individual situation, right? So we can talk about world poverty, all those kinds of things, the illnesses all around the world. But now when a friend or a loved one has cancer and it becomes specific, all the more these kinds of questions present themselves to us. And we'd like answers, but Isaiah's going to tell us whether or not we're going to always get answers and how to deal with however God is dealing with us in those dark moments. So I'm going to break it down into two things. We have a God who does sometimes hide himself. He hides his motives. He hides his reasons. He doesn't always tell us all the time why he's letting things happen in our lives, or even provoking things to happen in our lives. But there is a huge part of God that he has told us about, that he has revealed to us. And so I want to start there, because before we can dive into the God who hides himself, we need to talk about the God who has revealed himself to us and what he has revealed about himself. Things like, yes, he is loving and faithful and forgiving and patient and kind. So this is your first fill-in, understanding God from what he has revealed. We start with Isaiah chapter 45, and I'll read the whole section, and then I'm going to come back and hit on the first several verses. But let's put all the verses up first. And I added this, it's not on your program, but it's really important because God introduces the section we're about to read by pointing out his sovereignty and his singularity in being the sovereign. There is no other like me. I am the Lord. I am sovereign, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I'm the potter. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down my righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness flourish with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds of the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say the potter has no hands? Woe to the one who says to a father, what have you begotten? Or to a mother, what have you brought to birth? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its maker. Concerning things to come, do you question me about my children or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth and created mankind on it. My own hand stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry hosts. I will raise up Cyrus in my righteousness. I will make all his ways straight. He will rebuild my city and set my exiles free, but not for a price or reward, says the Lord Almighty. I just want to pause on that for a second, because that might seem odd that he's mentioning a particular person, but Cyrus was not even around yet when this was written. It's truly prophecy. This is something Isaiah is saying before it even happens. But Cyrus wasn't even a believer. He was a pagan emperor, and he ends up being the one that God allows, this unbelieving, this pagan, this emperor, a very powerful guy, he ends up being the one who allows the Israelites to move back from Babylon to Israel and rebuild their temple, and even funds it. But can you see what kind of questions that would raise up in people's minds? Like, why is God using this brutal emperor guy to help us? We've been at war with this guy. Why would he be the one that God sends us as our savior? So these are the kinds of questions that come up when we follow God. This is what the Lord says. The products of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and those tall Sabaeans, they will come over to you and will be yours. They will trudge behind you. These are traditional enemies of Israel. And he's saying they'll be subject to you at some point, coming over to you in chains. They will bow down before you, something that the Israelites who were in captivity at this point couldn't even imagine. They will bow down before you and plead with you, saying, surely God is with you, and there is no other. There is no other God. Truly, you are a God who has been hiding himself. We cannot always figure you out, God. But we know this. Here's part of the revealed God. No matter if we don't have answers to all the questions, we know this. You are the God and the savior of your people Israel. So let's dive in first and go, okay, what has God told us about himself? What has he revealed? And let's go back to 7 and 8. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down my righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation, you can underline that word, spring up. Let righteousness flourish with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Talk about prophecies. This is actually Isaiah talking about the God who would send a Messiah, not Cyrus this time, but his one and only son, Jesus, who would live a perfect life and take his perfection, his holiness, the word used here, his righteousness, and then rain it down on the world. Meaning you and I would be covered, just like many of you were this morning walking into church. You got a little wet, didn't you? And see, that's why Jesus went to the cross. Is because God, in his faithful love, knew that you were sinful, knew that I'm sinful, knew that I needed a source outside of myself in order to obtain the righteousness that God requires of us so that we can live with him for all eternity. That was not going to be manufactured by us in our own life. It was only going to be, as the picture paints here, if God would rain it down on us through the death and resurrection and the perfect life of his son, Jesus Christ. And what that tells us, what that reveals to us about God is, God's design is always your salvation, which comes through his forgiveness and the righteousness he gives you from Jesus. And it means that ultimately everything God does, whether it's a dark time, a valley, or a time of great success, and you feel so blessed, it's all pointing to one thing. It's pointing to the moment when Jesus returns. And when Jesus is our judge and makes a decision about where we're going to spend eternity. And Isaiah is saying, you have the kind of God that if you trust in Christ, you have no worries about eternity, not one. Because Christ has rained down his righteousness on you. And even though in your life now, there will be times when I create darkness, and there will be times when I create light. I don't know if that's me doing that. Let me adjust some wires here. All right, let's hope that happens. Nope. Let me pull this all the way out. I'm going to have a tail now. Pay no attention. What Isaiah is saying is, here and now, we're going to have our questions. There are going to be light times, dark times, valleys, mountaintops. But God creates all of those things with a design to bring us through and help us get to eternity. And that is when we find God, even though he's hidden at times, in the one who has perfectly revealed him. And that is Jesus Christ. So Luther says it this way. He says, let's put that, God hides himself so that we may seek him. Seek him in what he's revealed about himself. Seek him, as Luther says, in Christ. Where are we going to find God even when he seems hidden to us? We're going to find the real God in Christ and how he's acted toward us and sacrificed himself. So, here's your first lesson. He is a both and God whose goal is always my salvation. Many of you have memorized Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Meaning, no matter what our ups and downs are, what our valleys and mountaintops are, what our light times and dark times are, God is relentlessly working for our eternal good. All right, so that's understanding God from what he tells us about himself. He's a both and God. He creates light and darkness. He brings prosperity and creates disaster, but always with the intention of getting us across the goal line of eternity. But what do we learn from the part of God that he's kept hidden from us? And why does he do that? So let's look at verse 15. This is now the last verse in what we read. Truly, you are a God who has been hiding himself, the God and Savior of Israel. This is Isaiah saying, I don't get it, Lord. Why would you use someone like Cyrus to rescue us? Or I don't get it. Why are you keeping us so long in captivity to the Babylonians? Why won't you rescue us? Why won't you send us back to the Holy Land, which is our home? Why is your punishment, your discipline taking so long? When will it end? There were all these questions. You've had questions like that too. Why did I lose my job? Why did this loved one have to pass away so early? Why am I sick? All these things, and even lighter ones, like why is my vacation nothing like what I had envisioned it would be? And I had planned this beautiful, restful time, and one thing after another, a flat tire happens, my debit card won't work, and I have, you know, I'm planning this and God is delivering this. What's going on? Truly, you are a God who has been hiding himself, the God and Savior of Israel. You know what God is teaching you in these times when he doesn't explain himself? He's teaching you the same thing that my dad was trying to teach me, and that maybe your dad or your mom tried to teach you, which is, remember who I am. And even though how I'm letting things happen right now might bring some questions to your mind, let's just come back to this. Am I still your dad? And what do you believe about me? Do you believe that I'm a loving dad? Do you believe that there's a reason I've been putting food on the table all these years? Making sure there's a roof over your head, making sure you have a nice warm blanket to sleep underneath at night, making sure you have all these nice things. Why is it that I go to work every day so I can bring home a paycheck to use to take care of you with it? Because I love you. And I want you to remember, even though you can't always understand me, that I'm always, this is my character. I'm your dad, therefore I will always love you. And that's really what our Heavenly Father is saying. In the times where I don't explain myself and where you're feeling like I'm hidden from you, it's a matter of kind of just surrendering and saying, okay, even though you're not fielding all my questions, God, you're not giving me all the answers I'd like to have, you know what? I just have to come back and believe that you are a gracious Heavenly Father who loves me, and you will always act consistently with your character. Now, is that easy? It's one of the toughest things to just trust God in these moments of darkness in a valley. But Luther says it's a daily thing. The Christian life of surrendering to God is nothing else but a daily baptism, meaning it's like every day you have to be baptized again, in this sense of not like an actual baptism, but a baptism of remembering who God is and that he loves you for a purpose and wants you with him in heaven forever. It is a dying to self and a rising in Christ. So, write this down. What a relationship with God requires. No, sorry. He is a God who calls for unconditional surrender. That's first. He is a God who calls for unconditional surrender. Like with your dad. Okay, Dad. I'll just trust. All right, final thing. What a relationship with God requires, and how we create a lot of unnecessary stress for ourselves. Do you believe that? Do you think to yourself sometimes when you look at how you're dealing with things that I think I'm creating a little bit of unnecessary stress for myself? Yes, this is a stressful situation. But am I compounding it somehow by how I'm receiving and dealing with this situation? And the answer that I've learned in my life is many times I've compounded my own stress and pain by how I'm dealing with a tough moment in my life. And I want to explain that to you. But let's look at this verse. Woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds on the ground. Those are like little shards of pottery that's broken. Does the clay say to the potter, who are you making? Does your work say the potter has no hands? What is he saying? What's Isaiah saying here? He's saying a very similar thought that I once read in the book. Maybe some of you have read this book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And in The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren says this. You must decide to let God be God and you be you. And why must you decide that? Because God is God and you're not. God is God and I'm not. He's the sovereign, I'm the servant. And there's nothing more helpful than coming to a point where you realize, well, if he's the sovereign, and as we defined that earlier, he's free and independent and autonomous, at some point, I have to realize that he may not be changing his decision no matter how many prayers I send up. Let me give you a very practical example from my own life. So I've shared with you before, when I was here full time, that I went through a period of depression. And it was clinical depression. I was on meds. I was getting counseling. And there were a lot of things going on in my life. It was a very dark period in my life. And you know what I was doing with that depression? I was fighting it with my whole being. I was like, I am not a depressed person. I'm not going to be in this darkness. I am not giving up on positivity. And no matter how dark it gets, I just don't accept that I'm depressed. Even though I was taking medication for depression and getting counseling for depression, internally, I was fighting it with every fiber of my being. Until one day, when I just gave up, I surrendered and I said, okay, God, I don't know when this is going to get better, but from here on out, Lord, it's your decision, no longer mine. If you want me to no longer be depressed, fine, then I'll no longer be depressed. And if you want me to be depressed for the rest of my life, okay, I accept. Do you know what happened when I decided to just give it to God and accept it? I started getting better. It was the weirdest thing. It was like my own fighting my depression is the very thing that had been keeping me depressed. And that I just needed to give it to God, surrender and say, okay, whatever. You decide, not me. I don't know if any of you are going through dark times like that right now. A valley, a winter. But one of the things I've learned is to practice faith in God and acceptance of my circumstances and let God be God and decide what's going to happen with that. And he's the potter, I'm the clay, so let him mold me and teach me and make me into the kind of man he wants me to be through these circumstances, and to stop quarreling with my maker and saying, God, I don't accept this from you. And when I did that, it was amazing. There's a book that we've been talking about a little bit here, and I'll put the picture of it. It's called The Let Them Theory, because this not only works with God, it also works at times when you're struggling with another person. And if you're struggling with another person and finding it hard to accept their behaviors and so on, their words, whatever, you should get this book. It's an interesting book, and let me just read you a little snippet from it. Let them, in business, in relationships, in life, let them doubt you. Let them walk away. Let them choose something else. You cannot control how people feel, how they behave, or whether they stay in your life. What you can control is your response, your integrity, and your focus. In leadership, entrepreneurship, and personal growth, attachment to other people's opinions will only slow you down. You're not here to be understood by everyone. You're here to become the best version of yourself. So if they walk away, let them. If they don't believe in you, let them. If they take your presence for granted, let them. Then go back to building. Go back to growing. And trust that what's meant for you will find its way to you without force. Leave that up. Put that back up. He's talking about your and my relationship with people. But this also speaks to your relationship with God when he's hiding himself from you. Just go back to building. Let God do what he's going to do, trusting that he's the potter and molding you into a fantastic person. All right, to have a relationship with God and to practice acceptance, it requires two other things. And you can write these down. To have a relationship with God, we must practice gospel-motivated, meaning we're tapping into Jesus, who he is, how he represents God to be, that love and faithfulness, and tapped into that and motivated by the gospel, we practice humility, faith, and acceptance. All right, it's time to wind down. Here's your next step. Here's just the reality. God's ways are dark to us sometimes. And you're going to at times say, God, where are you? Why are you hiding yourself from me? Why don't I see you in this critical moment? Maybe even dark valley moment. And the answer for those times is going to be to just simply remind yourself, God is faithful. He is loving. He's shown us who he really is in Jesus Christ. God's ways are mysterious. And at times, God's ways are difficult. But just simply say to yourself, I will accept. I will accept his will and submit to it. Would you bow your head in prayer with me? Dear Father in heaven, we sometimes struggle to practice faith and acceptance. It's hard for us. And we know, Lord, that sometimes we're afraid. We feel like we need to control things, especially when it's a valley or a dark period in our life. But Lord, help me to remember that you are the Lord and I'm not. And let you be the Lord and let me be me, a humble servant to you, submitting to your will. Help me to remember your grace and forgiveness, your desire to have me in eternal life with you, and that you are working all things for my eternal good. Help me always to remember these things, no matter what period of life I'm going through, and no matter how hidden you may appear to be. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. And we also pray the Lord's Prayer. Join with me if you would. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and grant you his peace. Amen.